evening. I want to start out by saying that we are deeply blessed and have always been by this church. In April past, it was our 39th year since we left Michigan and went to Mexico, came down and went through here. If you look back, some of you that were here, you might think maybe we weren't all that wise. I came through, said we're going to Mexico, and you never asked me a doctrinal question. you never said anything, just said we'll do what we can do, and you stepped up in a big way. This week in the morning meetings, I have been preaching messages to the missionaries, to ourselves, in an attempt to stir us up, to remind us of some things, to perhaps even correct some things. But it's always been difficult for me to come to you, the congregation, and try to rail on you, and there's not a better group of anybody I've ever met than this church and what they have sacrificed and done for the Lord.
Amen.
If you haven't had a chance to see, or you haven't given the financial report of 2020, in the midst of a big pandemic, you ought to look at that pie chart back there. Very impressive.
Yeah. Amen.
People here are doing a work for the Lord.
Amen.
Priorities are set right. I thought, well, could you do more? Yes. But most of you couldn't do less. Your conviction and your faith and your desire to see the Lord's work wouldn't let you do less. And I want to thank and praise the Lord for you and your sacrifice and what you've done. And I pray the Lord that there'll be fruit in your name. You've just saw some pictures. We would be here for many, many hours if we were to show the hundreds, perhaps thousands that have been saved, families brought back together through the preaching of the word by just some simple people that said, yes, I'll go. And if there's any way I can encourage you tonight, I want to say God has blessed you. God has got fruit piled in heaven for you, and you are co-workers.
Yep.
I'm embarrassed to a great deal to be placed on some type of a pedestal or something. Yep. That I'm a missionary. We're all in this fight together.
Right.
And your example, your giving, your praying,
yep,
your faithfulness proves that point. And thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Amen.
I grew up in a Christian church. My parents accepted the Lord before I knew. I was 2 years old. They jumped in full tilt. They said, we're going to do this. We're going all the way. They never missed a meeting, which meant I never missed a meeting. When the snow got so deep that the car wouldn't go, we climbed on my three sisters and my mom and dad and I climbed on an old John Deere A, and we went 5 miles through the blizzard to open the church. People that lived across the street, members of the church, didn't come. We were there. When the mud got so deep into spring, that mile to the highway was unpassable for the car on the John Deere A until it wouldn't go through the mud. And then we walked the fields where the grass was to get to the car. We had some missionaries come through and get presented their work. Most of them would ask me if I'd been called. You've been called yet? You got the calling? And so, you know, I didn't know what they're talking about. But in all the years, 20 years, 19 years, the only real missionary I knew about personally was an aunt to somebody I went to school with. Nobody in our church ever went out as a missionary. They gave to missions, some. They had a little offering. And most of the children's Sunday school offering would go to missionaries, go to the mission That was about the extent of the mission effort. And then I met my wife, daughter of a missionary, and then you folks, and everything changed. You don't know the blessing it is that so many have gone out of this church as missionaries. The offerings that you gave is substantial and pretty impressive. But it's much more impressive that you've given of your own. Parents have given up their children. Grandparents didn't get a chance to be around when their grandchildren. That's a sacrifice. I just want to encourage you to say thank you. And then there's another thing that's always been on my heart, and I've preached it a lot, and I'm going to preach one that some of you remember and will be bored with, but not everybody has this vision and this drive and this get up and go, and nothing's going to stand in their way. I've had the great privilege and honor to work with some that have that. But I'll confess, I've never had that for myself. I knew God wanted me to go to Mexico, and I'll tell you a little about that in a minute. But I didn't have that drive, and I still don't. I don't have what I see in some of these other men and women that are just driving on, and they've got their focus. And in my experience and through 39 years and a whole lot of people in the churches, there's not many that have that. And that's where the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer comes in. And tonight I want you to realize, if you don't have this burning desire and calling of the Lord, or whatever you want to call it, that drives you beyond yourself, there's still a place for you. There's a place for all of us, and there needs to be followers. You look at any organization, there's a couple leaders, and there's everybody else that gets in behind them. You look at an army, and you got the generals, and you got the bullet bait. And what I've found in the churches is we lack people that are willing to get in behind whatever the God wants to do and go after it. Go do it. And so if you turn to your Bibles in Samuel 14, we'll read a few spotted verses. It's a lot to read, but we can get the gist of it. Samuel 14:6, and it said, "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, 'Come and let us go over unto the garrison of those uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few.'" And this is a statement that woke me up. "And his armor bearer said unto him, 'Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I'm with thee according to thy heart.'" The armor bearer didn't have a vision of going and fighting these Philistines. That wasn't his vision. "I'm here to support you." The job of the armor bearer is to make the leader successful. That's why you don't have the armor bearer's name. And you don't know what really happened to him. Arrogance and pride and desiring to be noticed and set up as a hero has limited a lot of people from serving the Lord, from doing what God has called them to do. Because it says to do what's in thine heart. That has given me an expression, a way to express what I think God has called me to do for these last years. Step up behind the leader and try to help if possible. Whether I've been successful or helpful or not, you'll have to ask my coworkers. I'm not the one to answer that. But I know the Lord's going to answer that someday. The Lord's going to make that final judgment. Amen. of whether I have and have not. And makes me tremble a little, because I haven't had all the great days of an armor bearer. There's some things that the armor bearer is going to have to put up with, like not agreeing with their leader. Verse 11, and both of them discovered themselves. What are they doing in the middle of a battle saying, here we are, enemy? Isn't surprise the greatest asset to a war? Why is it they're standing below them? Isn't a high place the better to be? There's a riddle, and maybe some of you would answer that. What one thing would you be sure of after meeting your enemy in after a 1,000-mile journey? What? That's right. There's some wisdom in fighting. And this Jonathan didn't have much. He says, we're going to go down here and stand below these guys that got all the advantage, and we're going to say, hey, we want to kill you. And the armor bearer, if I'd been there, hey, there's a better way. I remember the time when we were in the Huasteca doing the ministry there. We were going to villages that you couldn't get to. There was times it was hours of walking. It was crossing rivers and dugout canoes to get to these places. And you all know my father-in-law. He's a wonderful man that served the Lord faithfully for all his years. He just wasn't real sharp sometimes, I just have to say. We're driving down the Pan American Highway on these curves that two cars can't hardly pass. And he looks up, and he's driving, of course, about 50 miles an hour on this curve. Look at there. Look at that tin roof. We haven't been up there. He stops on the side of the road, got over as far as he could. The tires were still on the pavement. And he's out, and he's pulling the projector, the light plant. Let's go. Let's go up there. He said, Dad, that's 5 miles away, and it's valleys. There's a river down there. How are you going to cross it? And I was the bad guy because I'm so pessimistic. I'm all for getting there, but let's plan. Sometimes the armor bearer just got to go along. Well, I talked him into, since a big truck about knocked us off the road, let's go down to this town, the city down here, and ask him about that. We got down there, and they said, you know what? They just built a road to it. They showed us how to go. We went up this road that they had just built. We parked next to that building. I was proved right. And I've often wondered, was that a very good armor bearer? I quenched his spirit there for a minute or two, but there's things that's going to take place that you're not going to like. The elders are going to make some decisions. And you're going to say, man, I wish they wouldn't do that. I don't want to do that. If it's not doctrinally detrimental, what difference does it make? Would not the unity of the church be more important? To me, that's the most important thing we can do, is be united.
Amen.
The decision's made, whatever it is, let's go with it. Let's give it a try. Yeah, but my way's always better. I made a drastic change when I left my life before the mission field. If we were building a building together, I'm going to be in charge. Sorry. I've built it 10 different ways. What do you think I do while you're sleeping? I've thought it through. I know where everything's going to go. I actually know where the extension cords are going to be and what time, what we're going to have done by break time and again by lunch and what you're going to do to get there. And I'm not going to let you be in charge. Sorry. If you want me to help you, it's going to be my way, or I'm going to take the highway. I brought the tools and I brought the know-how and I'm going to get it done. For some reason, we got to Mexico. I guess I just knew I was out faithed. And I thank the Lord that in most instances I've been able to say, We'll do it your way. You want to print? We'll go get printers. You want to do show films? I went and got projectors. The church needs armor bearers. A good leader has to know how to follow. It's one thing that I knew about my father-in-law. I've had the opportunity to spend a lot of years with him, probably more than his own children, especially in adult life. And when it's time to lead, he led. And when there was times when he was to follow, he followed. One of the problems that I think I've seen in some of the churches is that someone is led out, and then later on, someone else, the Lord has touched and to lead out, and there's a conflict. Wait a minute, I'm the guy leading. Well, that was yesterday. Today, it's a new deal. This guy's got the vision. Step in behind and say, no, I'm pushing you. I want you to be, I want your project to work. Another thing I saw, they were crawling on their hands and their feet. They were putting everything they had to crawl up that mountain. And the armor bearer was right behind him. He wasn't saying, well, here's your sword, holler when you're ready for the spear and I'll be waiting here for you. We need to get involved, really involved. That's some risk. The armor bearer took a huge risk. And it says that it says in verse 13, Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. He was in the middle of the battle. We should all be in the middle of the battle. Amen. It's a battle of souls for eternity. Amen. There's no place for somebody to be sitting in reserve. You don't win these strategic battles with this big reserve. One thing I've noticed about this church, you don't have a big bank account of reserve. You get money comes in and money is spent for the glory of God. Yep. Praise the Lord. You need a little cushion in case you have to fix the roof, but it's important enough that we shouldn't be in reserve. I want to be part of something that produces. That's always been my thing. I want to produce. And I thank the Lord that I've been part of something that has produced. We've seen a great revival. We've seen. And it's happened because there were some leaders and there's been some followers. And the followers weren't lagging behind. They were right there pushing, helping, making it happen. This church has been an example to me and to a whole lot of other people. I wanted to encourage you. Those of you that don't think you got much gift, Brother Matt said that, you know, in 7 months he was intermediate in Spanish. Well, I've almost caught him after 39 years. I find a verse that I want to share, and if I don't write it on my hand, if I don't have it somewhere, I can't remember it for 5 minutes. Know your shortcomings, find a way around them, but don't say I can't do it. You imagine God Almighty who created you and said you can do all things in Christ who strengtheneth me, and then you say I can't? You see the trembling in some of these young men that go out and try to preach, and they're scared to stiff, as I was many times. God strengthens you, and you step up, and you preach the gospel. You give them a track. I can't give that offering. I said, we won't be able to buy the food next week. All things in Christ. We make Christ a liar when we say, I can't. It's a word you should learn to hate. Not yeah. possible. Yeah. Can't do it. Yep. I was working, had a young guy helping me with the projects down there, and he would always, he started out saying, oh, we can't do that. And I was mad. What do you mean you can't do that? Sure you can do that. And we'd get it done. And this went on for, you know, a few times. And we had another guy came in and was going to do something. And the other guy says, you can't do that. And my helper, he said, don't say that. Don't say that. It makes him mad. You think God gets mad when we say we can't?
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Of course he does.
That's good.
He said, God has done everything and put it, empowered us. There's nothing impossible. Another thing I'll share with you. My dad was the foreman and I was on the crew, and he's pushing and shoving. Let's get this building up. You guys aren't going to eat till that wall's up. And somebody would inevitably say, but Eldon, Rome wasn't built in a day. And he'd always respond, we weren't on that job. It's attitude. Of course we can. And now what's our excuse? We've done things before. God through us has done great things. We can't do more? It's impossible? I want to thank you, church. I would have never, ever had this attitude, much less this opportunity, if it hadn't have been for you accepting me and teaching me and giving me the opportunity. I'd like to see us build Rome again in a day. Lord bless you.
Amen. Glory to God.